This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
John Heyman joins us now, kicking off the 1 o'clock hour. Obviously, MLB Network, New York Post. He's all over the place. Hey, John, thanks for the time this afternoon. Certainly appreciate it, and Happy New Year to you and your family.
Happy New Year, Moose. Anytime for you. You're the best.
No, I appreciate it, John. Great piece you had yesterday in terms of Bo Bichette, and kind of the late developing marketplace. You know, how serious is the interest with the Yankees with potentially him moving to second base?
Yeah, you know, I think they'd have to move Jazz Chisholm first. We'll see how that goes. He's certainly out there. They're taking offers on Jazz. Jazz had a great year, 30 homers, 30 steals, all-star. And, he's a free agent after the year. And, obviously they like Bo Bichette. We'll see how it goes. I do think that Bichette is the one who makes sense. If they do move Jazz for second base, I don't think it's a shortstop thing. I still think they have faith in Volpe. I know the fans are kind of mixed on that now, but I do think the Yankees still have faith there. So I think Bichette is ultimately a second baseman wherever he goes, most likely. And, it's been late developing for everybody, right? I mean, I wrote in the Post about the six stars, and there are more than this, still out on the market. Six guys were expected to get $100 million plus, and I still expect them to get it, but I don't know whether it's the CBA concerns or the fact that there's so many big names on the trade market or what, but it certainly has been a very slow market for just about all the stars except for Cease. Obviously, Alonso signed. Obviously, Diaz signed. There have been a few signings, but the biggest stars are still out there.
Yeah, how big of an issue, John, you know, and you do a great job covering it, and I love the sport, and, you know, but how big of an issue? I hit upon it a little bit yesterday. You know, baseball needs to, you know, kind of have appointment TV here where you see it in the NBA, you see it in the NFL, you see even see it in the National Hockey League where you get to the offseason, free agency gets going, you know, and there's a rhythm to it where guys are signing. You haven't seen that in Major League Baseball. Maybe that's the CBA, but it's been more than just this offseason. It's really been the past 5-10 years. Is that something baseball Manfred can go out there and address?
Well, I know some people in management would like to see a deadline, and that certainly would speed things up. That'd make my life easier, certainly would make many of their lives easier, but I don't think the union and the agents are going to go for it. Having all this time certainly seems to play in their favor. We've seen these Japanese players with deadlines be forced to sign at a certain time, and maybe that does affect their ultimate price. I'm not sure. I'm not an agent. I'm not a lawyer, but it does seem like there's too much pushback from the agents and probably the union that will allow a deadline. So I don't think we're going to see it. And I know that the fans are figuring it's dragging on, but you know, at the same time, there are stories throughout the offseason. It doesn't all come at once, so I know it seems like a interminable wait, and it certainly is for these players who are expecting to get big deals.
Back to Chisholm and the Yankees here. How robust is the marketplace? Like, how are the Yankees you reported Yankees are fielding offers on them. Are they aggressively pursuing moving Jazz Chisholm, or if they get overwhelmed with an offer, they'd be open to the idea of moving him?
Yeah, I don't think they are aggressively pursuing. No team will ever admit they're aggressively pursuing a trade for a player, especially a star player like that, but I don't think so. I mean, obviously, he had a very good year. They certainly could live with him, and he's a very good player. He does have a year to go. Word is the Cubs are doing the same with Nico Hoerner, and they love Nico Hoerner. He's also got a year to go. So I think that's just the way things are going now. When a guy's close to free agency, teams consider moving a guy if they don't feel like they're going to sign him or they can sign him. So, I don't think the impetus is that strong, but it's certainly a possibility.
When you look at, and we're talking to John Heyman, MLB Network, New York Post, and does a great job. And in terms of when you look at the Bombers here, when we get to Bellinger, you report that there's an official offer on the table. You know, where do you think, you know, if you had to speculate, you know, is the marketplace for Bellinger, Mets, Yankees, Yankees, Mets? How many other teams are in on Cody?
Well, the teams that have been linked to him so far include the Dodgers, his old team, and the Giants. Now, certainly, every team has its pluses and minuses, but you got to figure things really worked out well. He had over a five WAR with the Yankees. The ballpark fits him. He and Judge got along famously. Not that anyone doesn't get along with Judge, but it seemed like a great fit for the Yankees. Certainly, Grisham. I think they were surprised that Grisham took the qualifying offer. At least some of them were surprised. You know, that certainly throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into it. But, you know, they had Grisham and Bellinger last year. But, of course, you've got Spencer Jones possibly coming up. So it's a little bit more crowded. But the question for the Yankees is, you know, are we certain that Stanton's going to stay healthy? Are we certain that Dominguez is going to improve? Do we think that Spencer Jones's time is now? You know, certainly don't want to take a step back, because it feels like Toronto, even though they both won 94 games, feels like Toronto's got the better team, and they've certainly made some big improvements. Boston's done some big things, obviously getting Gray, getting Contreras. AL East has been the most active division. Well, a lot of divisions, a lot of teams have not been active. AL East has been really active. Feels like the Yankees have fallen behind a little bit here. It does seem that is the best fit for Bellinger, and that's the most likely outcome. Does that mean it's a guarantee? No. Mets do like him. I do think David Stearns loves the guys who can field, and he is one of the best outfielders in the game, and certainly combines that middle-of-the-order bat with an excellent outfielder who can also play first base, which really makes him fit the Mets, too. So I'll be surprised if it's not the Mets or the Yankees, but certainly, look, Toronto is looking to do stuff. If they don't get Tucker, could Bellinger be a fallback for them? Certainly could be. They're looking at Bregman. They're looking at Bichette. I mean, Toronto looks like they're going to have a monster team. Maybe not quite as good as the Dodgers, which, I mean, they outplayed the Dodgers in the World Series, but I mean, to me, the Yankees need to do more. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, I know I've seen on Twitter where people are saying who's had the worst offseason. It's kind of split between Yankees and Mets. I do feel the Yankees need to do more. I mean, if I had to pick one of the two at this point, I mean, I got to go with the Mets, right? They've had the worst offseason. They've lost Alonso and Diaz, two of the most popular and productive players that they've had, and two great Mets. And certainly the fans are not going to be happy, but there is time to go. There are players to go. They have the wherewithal. Steve Cohen obviously wants to win. He obviously is willing to spend, and you figure they're going to have a big second half to this offseason. But if we're to ask now who's had the worst offseason, I mean, the Mets have taken some big body blows to this point.
Yeah, I'll get into a little bit of Mets here, John, in momentarily. One more on the Yankees. Could you envision a scenario where they sign Bichette, move Chisholm, and also sign Bellinger?
It's possible, but, you know, we had that conference call with Hal Steinbrenner, and he did talk about how they aren't making a profit. You know, he is concerned about the bottom line. So, you know, I'm not sure that they're going to raise the payroll by that much. I would think one or the other is probably most likely. And the offer came to Bellinger this week. So I think they're working on that right now. And that is they've said that publicly. I'm not making a scoop here. They've said that Bellinger is their number one priority. So to do both, particularly when you need they need bullpen, right? Their bullpen was not really good last year, and I recognize two of the pitchers are now with the Mets, but it was not very good last year, and they haven't done a ton to improve that bullpen, so they still have.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Work to do there as well, so I'm going to say not that likely that they do both Bellinger and Bichette, and I think Bellinger is the target at this moment.
We talked to Gelbs about the Mets briefly with the Yankees. I know you're a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
We are sitting here now on December 31st, Their pitching is fantastic. I am not questioning that. Devin Williams is now a Met. Okay, fair enough. Cody Bellinger is still out there.
Still out there.
And to me, this lineup is still very incomplete. While you still have the best player on the planet, or at least arguably one of the best players on the planet, Aaron Judge, you still have an aging Giancarlo Stanton on this team. Bellinger is not currently there. If Bellinger, I say if because who knows, I think he wants to be a Yankee, but money will talk. If he ends up with the Mets or even back with the Dodgers or wherever, what in the hell are your Yankees doing?
I don't know.
What a weird offseason.
It has, but I also think right now, is it a numbers thing?
I think it's a numbers and a years thing. Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot with Hal Steinbrenner and the luxury tax and kind of setting a specific number of salary he doesn't want to go over. You've got Bellinger by reports, because you know what Boris is really asking for. He's not. I've seen some stories that Bellinger wants 7 years. I've seen five years. I think
the
most
number
teams,
I saw her was seven.
That's been out there. I think even six is out there. And I think most teams, and when I say most, I'm really referencing mostly the Mets and the Yankees. I don't think either team would have any issue giving him a 3 or a 4 year deal. But if you're going to start tacking on four, five, six, seven, I think that's where the problem lies. And you always wonder as we're getting into the new year
about,
now.
They're talking about seven for what, 30 million?
Something like that.
Something like that, right?
Seems like the going rate. Yeah. You see, we would throw this $30 million out like it's nothing, but yeah, it seems to be the going rate.
Right.
You know, spring training, pitchers and catchers will report to spring training officially like 6 weeks from now. And at some point, whether you're the Mets, the Yankees, that's why I asked Gelb's like what he thought the Met lineup will look like opening day. There is still a lot of work to do for these two teams. And if he ever went, I don't think it's going to happen, but if he ever went back to the Dodgers or another team swooped in and grabbed him, I think both teams are kind of sitting there left like, huh, now what?
Well, I think in reference to the Yankees, if you're trying to ride the momentum off what you did last year, you want to get this done as soon as possible. You don't need this distraction going into spring training. I think for the Mets on the other side, you just let go of Alonso. You watch Edwin Diaz. Like you've lost some star power. This guy you feel like can fill a void.
A lot of them.
And then I think right now it's just about, you know, I think for Corey, I think with him is the security. And I understand that from a ball player standpoint. You want to know where you're going to be. You want to feel like you have a role and you're cemented in an organization like the Yankees where, you know, they bleed the Blue Jays. They're back where they were prior to that. You have a roster that can compete. You know, I think you just want to get the deal done sooner than later. But it just has to make sense. And I think at this point in his career, it has to make sense for you overall, not just from the ball club. You have to feel like you know where you need to be.
Well, but then comes the question, like, where are the offers coming from? Because it does seem like if that's his asking price, all is essentially quiet. And at some point, he's going to have to make a decision on where he wants to play. When I say he is the perfect fit for both teams, to me, I got a guy who can play first base. He can play center field. He can play left field. You want him to DH one day. Like, he just does. And he does it all very well, which is why he's a unique player, but still dangling out there. And until you got him, you ain't got him.
Well, do you see it? I mean, do you see this thing happening?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, before,
I've always thought he was going back to the Yankees, going back to last season. I've seen him. I remember Susan Waldman did an interview with him, like in.
Well, the issue for me, the Yankees passed on an outfielder that can back Judge. Like, they don't have a backup for Judge right now. And like, so for me, it's like, get it done before the Mets say, listen, let's bring you in.
Then
the Yankees are stuck.
That's been hanging over their head, and still it hasn't motivated them to up the years if the reports I'm reading are true, that they're kind of holding firm on what they want to offer. So my point was, though, when Susan talked to him in April or May, I remember listening to it. It was one of those pregame conversations for one of the games early in the season.
And you're talking about
Bellinger,
okay,
talking about the pinstripes and his dad being a Yankee, yeah, and what it meant to him and how excited he was. I remember saying he's never leaving this organization. Like, if you asked me with Juan Soto last year, to me,
Soto seemed like he's
a ball player. Who's paying me the most money?
He was a hired assassin. And he approached it that way.
And if you remember, right after they had lost that playoff game, he was basically telling you, I'm open to all 30 teams.
Like, and this is him coming off like an MVP type year. And he still didn't seem like he was committed to everything the Yankees stood for. He was just like, no, whatever the
he
best.
He knew he was a great player. Where am I playing the next 15 years? Now we know where it is. Bellinger to me seemed different just because it really did seem like He felt a tie to the Yankees, enjoyed being a Yankee.
Yeah, and once he left Chicago, it felt like he was like, I arrived.
Yeah.
Like there was a sense that he was like, okay.
The pride, a lot of guys say it. I actually believed it when he talked about putting on the pinstripes. It really meant something to
especially
him.
Especially when he got here and he talked about playing with Judge and everything that the Yankees stand for, how he was a kid, loving the Yankees and running out on the field, wearing a pinstripe. It felt like he... as we like to say in the business, drinking the juice. Like he drank everything that it had to offer. And he was, I don't know, it's interesting. I'm just frustrated because I think if you're a Yankees fan, you want to see him sign, and we need depth. And especially if we want to make the run that we plan on making a run for next year.
Before we break, real quick, I know the agent works for you, the player. Mm-hmm. How much do you dictate to the agent?
That's a good question. You try to be honest and transparent, but I think it's funny because I just had this conversation with somebody else, a buddy of mine who's getting ready. Well, his kid is getting ready for the draft, and he was asking me, how do you vet out who's the right agent? I was like, the biggest thing that happens to a lot of ball players, you forget that the agent works for you, that you don't work for the agent. And sometimes the agent has a different agenda or a vision for how he wants you to go, where things how things should happen. And you have to be very transparent and honest about, this is what I need, this is what I'm looking for, and if this doesn't happen, there's a plan B. If you don't have those conversations, then you're allowing a guy pretty much to operate your future. And how everything, whatever manifests, that's on you because you chose to step away from the table. So I think those conversations need to be very honest, and you also need to understand that you're right. The agent works for you. He doesn't dictate what you want or your terms. He just comes back with the numbers, and you say, all right, what you're comfortable with and what you're not.
Yeah, man, I'm not so sure if you're working with Scott Boras. I don't know who is the client and who is the agent sometimes. It can get dicey.
That happens with Rosenhaus, too.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of big-top agents, they feel like, I'm going to tell you, like, no, well, hold up, dude. I'm the one out here banging. You know what I mean? So you have to have a vision and a plan.
888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Anthony in Staten Island. What's up, Anthony?
How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, sir.
How's everything going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just want to talk to you about the Yankees. They're a very dysfunctional organization. Now, you might say, well, how? Well, Steinbrenner and Cashman, he's an absentee owner. He's not putting his time into the team. He's letting Cashman be the owner. He's letting Cashman run the team, and Cashman's not doing a good job. When George was alive, and George had a backbone to Cashman, and when George,
they were never dysfunctional with George Steinbrenner. I mean, never. I mean, when he was hiring, people to dig up dirt on his stars because he didn't like paying them, there was never any dysfunction there. Or when Mel Hall was bringing in live animals, live cougars, and taking 15-year-old girls to sport to team functions, there was never any dysfunction with the Yankees then. And when they were the worst team in baseball in 1990 and 1991 and 1989, nope. Everything was hunky-dory.
They ended up winning four World Series in 5 years right after that.
Because he got banned.
That's yeah, I guess you're right. But what is Hal doing?
But what makes you think he's not an absentee owner? He's allowing Brian Cashman, who has a track record of winning for 30 years, whether you disagree with that, well, first of all, you can't disagree with that. Whether you disagree, he's still doing a good job or not, that's fair. That's up for debate. They haven't won a championship in 15 years. Whether or not Brian Cashman is still doing a good job is without question a legitimate point if you want to make it. But he's allowing Brian Cashman, who he believes in, to run the franchise. Now, he stepped in when it looked like Aaron Judge was going to go to San Francisco. He stepped in and said, what do you need? I'll give you the extra year and $40 million if you want it. He did it. But he allows Brian Cashman to run the organization. Yeah, just like right now, Cohen is allowing David Stearns to run the Mets. That's what typically is what happens. You pick someone to run your baseball operations, and you allow them to do it. How George did it a different way.
Cohen. At least you hear from Cohen. He shows his face.
Yeah, when he calls the entire fan base losers.
Where
he calls them idiots, rather. Excuse me. No, look, I mean, yeah. No, Hal, you're right. He doesn't speak that much. Not a lot of owners do. He's not out in public. There's no doubt about it. He speaks occasionally. And when he did this year on the Zoom, it was an absolute joke. And he did a terrible job, and what a terrible job of PR he had. Oh my God, talking about his bills and everything, be the first one to admit it. Now, again, I would push back on dysfunctional. I don't think the Yankees are dysfunctional at all. I don't think they're dysfunctional at all. They have not done a good enough job. Hal hasn't been willing to spend that little bit extra to have a full, complete team. He's not like his father in that manner, where he's not going to just go out and spend a ton of money. But again, the George conversation is so dumb, in my opinion, especially if you're going to bring up dysfunction. I mean, if you're going to bring up dysfunction and then tell me, you know, George would have never allowed this. Like, George was pretty freaking dysfunctional. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know why we have this, like, we for some reason we are unable to remember all we remember is the positive of George, where there was plenty. He's a great owner. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. I love George. But when you call up and say that there was only dysfunction, he hired the same manager 35 times, fired him 35 times. One of the great Yankees of all time, Yogi Berra, didn't want to step foot inside the building because he fired him 18 games into a season. He hired a private investigator to dig up dirt on his greatest player because he didn't like the contract he signed. Like, come on. I'm not even trying to knock George, but you can't call me up and say, how's dysfunctional if only his father was around? Like, I mean, are we losing it, people? Am I the only... And I wasn't even around back then, and I know this stuff. You want to tell me that they didn't try to win as much? Fine. You want to tell me his father would have spent more money? Fine. You want to tell me George would have fired Hal and Boone and you'd be happier? Fine. I don't know if winning necessarily would have accompanied it, but you're right. There is no chance in the world Brian Cashman would, if George were the same age as his son right now and running it as a 40, 50-year-old man, there is no doubt in my mind Brian Cashman would have hit the road years ago. Aaron Boone would not be the manager 8-9 years without a World Series championship. He'd be gone. There is no doubt, 100% accurate. That I agree with. Doesn't mean that they would have won, because you mentioned those championships built without him. Specifically without him. Like, that's the story of the building. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not just a coincidence that it was built without him. Gene Stickmichael was allowed to operate without him, and that's why the team was built. And that's why Bernie Williams wasn't traded. And that's why Mariano Rivera wasn't traded. Because George wasn't around there, wasn't around to screw it up like he screwed up the end of the 80s and early 90s. When the fan base at Yankee Stadium applauded with a standing ovation the day he was banished. Now again, this is just me pushing back. That's not the complete story of George Steinbrenner. That's not. George was a great businessman who took over a poorly run Yankee team and within a couple of years built a championship. And he spent a ton of money and he cared very much about winning. And I am glad he bought the team. I am glad he ran the team. I love George. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a great owner. But if you're going to call me up and tell me his son has allowed the team to become dysfunctional and he wouldn't have allowed it, I'm going to give you the pushback on everything I just said, because everything I just said was accurate. So I get it. We're not happy they haven't won. Doesn't mean we have to make stuff up. His son should go spend money instead of crying about paying bills. You want to say that to me? I'm right on board with you. Instead of crying about how much money he's given to the city, go out there and build a team that can win a championship. There you go. I'm with you. They're not dysfunctional. They're about as functional as operations go. They are the epitome of functional. We're just not happy with functional anymore. Nobody throws parades for functional. Nobody's sitting around going, oh my God, the New York Yankees, they're so functional. I mean, I will every once in a while and I get killed for it. They're not dysfunctional. They're the opposite of dysfunctional. They just haven't built the best baseball team in the American League very much. And they haven't built the best baseball team in baseball in 15 years. They've been good enough to win. I'll still stand by that. They were good enough to win. Last year's team was good enough to win. They didn't. I believe that. I think that you could point to a bunch of teams. The 2024, the last 2 years, the Yankees have been good enough to win. They haven't. 2019, good enough to win. Didn't. 2018, good enough to win. Didn't. 2017, good enough to win, didn't. There's years mixed in there where they weren't good enough to win. 22, by the end of the season, not good enough to win. 23, clearly not. Even 2020, not good enough. But I think a lot of the years they are good enough to win, they just don't. Proof of losing is not proof of could not win. The undefeated Patriots guaranteed prove that as much as any team, since we're talking about the Giants a lot here. But, like, dysfunctional? Yeah, I don't know about dysfunctional. There have been some rumblings that Kyle Tucker is a guy that people are concerned about has a deep passion and love for baseball. I mean, he's pretty damn good at it. So, I mean, like, I don't know, but that's been a rumor kind of circulating over the last couple weeks, that there are teams who are concerned about passion and love for the game. I don't know about necessarily the New York market, or because mostly when you hear that, you think media, you think attention, you think, you know, a lot of eyes on you, have a lot of responsibilities. Every day is, you know, a kind of, you know, you have to answer for everything you did. More media and New York pressure and crazy fan base and getting booed at Yankee Stadium. Like, that's typically what people, when they say isn't a good fit for New York, that is typically what is meant. I don't know if that's what Bowden meant or if that's also how the Yankees and Mets feel. But I have heard, and I haven't heard that specifically, but I have heard some rumors that he's not a deep lover of the game of baseball. And that teams are very fearful of giving him an 8, 9, 10-year contract, knowing that that's something about him. Now, as far as Imai and I've been saying that forever. The Yankees are not paying for a starting pitcher. There's no doubt about it. Now, I still think they're in the market to trade for one. I'm hoping Freddie Peralta is their guy because he's making $8 million this year. He's a rental. I think that would be a fair price. Everything is on hold with the Yankee offseason until they do what's going to happen with Bellinger. I believe Bowden in that. And again, he's off it. Right, he's off the idea that they're lurking. He was saying it for weeks. I was talking to Brian Cashman. He wasn't even hiding the fact they're lurking. He's being like, I was like, he's didn't hiding the fact. He hasn't said a damn thing. But anyway, yes, they're not making a big move. They want Bellinger. Until they know if they're getting Bellinger or not, they're not going to make the other trades. They're not doing anything else in free agency. They're not signing a starting pitcher in free agency. They're not getting another outfielder in free agency. There is nothing else. They're not getting an infielder. They're not doing Bo Bichette. Nothing. The Yankees are signing one player in free agency and one player only, Bellinger. And if they don't sign him, they won't sign anybody else. Like, it's not like him and then they'll look other. Nope. They're only considering paying one person in free agency, and that's Bellinger. And until they know whether or not he's their left fielder, there's no other moves to be made, because I think their intention is to trade Dominguez and or Spencer Jones. And they can't do that unless they know they have Bellinger in left field. So that's literally what they're waiting for. I do believe they want to trade for a pitcher. I do believe they're willing to trade for other pieces, bullpen guys. And when I say free agency, maybe some bullpen arms that none of us know. You know what I'm saying? They'll spend some money in free agency for a lower level bullpen arms. But legitimate free agents, they're not spending any money. But right now, they are waiting for Bellinger. If Bellinger goes elsewhere, then maybe they'll trade from deep in the organization for light, controllable starting pitching or something. But if Bellinger comes back, I would immediately look to Dominguez and or Spencer Jones to be traded for starting pitching. But until that happens, we wait. And unfortunately, whether you know Bowden or anybody else, it kind of feels like Bellinger is waiting for Tucker. Teams don't want to give Tucker a big contract because they don't think he loves baseball. And we are in this absolute dead period of nothing going on with Major League Baseball. And they have got to figure out something. Yesterday we talked about the idea that the NFL needs to do something so that NFL fans don't have to turn on their TVs on week 16, 17, 18 and root for their teams to lose. Major League Baseball needs to do something so that there's actually excitement in the MLB free agency period, because there is absolutely none. It is dead. It drags out forever. They need to do something where moves are made in a manageable time frame where fans can expect to know what their team is going to look like. Instead of just waiting, as Yankee fans as we are, Met fans as you are, just waiting for the one piece that unclogs the whole thing. And right now that seems to be Bellinger, at least for the Yankees. because their intention is to trade for a pitcher, and they can't do that until they know they don't need Spencer Jones and Dominguez.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.